Well, we're going to continue. I've been just feeding upon this theme that God has given us, given me to share. I heard it in my heart a few months ago, 3-4 months ago, or 3 months ago. And I just kept hearing in whom we have, and I've labeled this series of messages, In Him We Have. And we've been looking at a number of things. First, we started looking at just those scriptures that tell us what we have in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:13. And in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we've been looking at that. We've been looking at what we have in Christ. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. And so that one of the things that I wanted to spend a few lessons on is the name of Jesus. And we've been baptized into Christ. You know, the scripture says in Colossians 1:13 that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been what? Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we've been translated, or we've been born again, born into the family of God. And I think it's important. Sometimes it's good to just meditate upon what just really happened to us. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be what? In Christ, he is what? A new creature or a new person. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I have a new identity. I have a new destiny. And I have a new father. Or you could say I've been fathered of God. So I could not have received eternal life lest Jesus took my sins. And He took the sins of all mankind. He suffered that that death for every man. And so He made it possible. He's the mediator between God and man. So I've been fathered of God. I've received His very nature. And so we've come into the family of God. And so there are certain privileges, you know. If you were born into a certain family, and in any family, there are privileges that just because you're a part of that family, there are privileges. You know, you just think about, you know, when you are born, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily think about it because we may have been, most of us were born into this country. And so as an American, you didn't even have to think about citizenship. You were automatically a citizen because you were born into this country. But a lot of people who were not born in this country, they have to go through what? A process to become a citizen of this country. And once you do, then you are afforded privileges in this country. And, you know, with all of the stuff that goes on in this country, it is still considered, and I do consider it the greatest country in this world, that has given us privileges that are, you know, you just don't see these in other countries. And so, you know, the bottom line I'm really just trying to share is that when you are born into a family, there are some privileges that are afforded you. And so we're just looking at that. We're looking at in whom we have something. We have the salvation that was given to us. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. We have redemption. We've been redeemed from death. And so we've received his very life. And so I wanted to take again a look at the name of Jesus, and that name that was conferred upon Jesus because of his great conquests. And so it's good to see what we have. We've been baptized in that name, and we've been saved by that name, and we've been baptized by that name, and in some instances, healed in that name. And so it's good to just take a look. And what I wanted to focus on is that when we have something, then that means we've taken possession of it. So when it says, in whom we have redemption, anytime you say we have something, that means I've taken possession of something. I now have a right or an ability, and so the question becomes, when we make that statement, in whom we have, do you have that, or is it just, as some like to say, we've just mentally agreed with it, but if we believe we have something, then that means we act upon that which we believe. And so we shared in the last few lessons, I think it's good to look at this again, Mark 4:24 and 5, in the Passion Translation, and desiring, it's interesting, and I like the way the Passion Translation reads, in Mark 24 and 25, it says, then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything that you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth, you know, it's some King James, it says the measure. Well, this is according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. In verse 25, for those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. And but I wanted to start this evening and just let's look at what we have or how we got saved and the name of Jesus being connected to our salvation. And looking at Acts and the Passion Translation, Acts 4:12. And it says, there is no one else who has the power to save us. For there is only one name to whom God has given authority. Isn't that good? There's only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation, the name of Jesus. So we were saved in that name. And also, we were baptized into that name. So let's take a look at Matthew 28 in the New Living Translation. So we were saved in that name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Matthew 28 and verse 18, 19, and 20 in the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And let's look at that verse 19 in the Amplified Classic. And it says, go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we've been baptized into, we've been saved by that name. We've been baptized into the name or into Christ. And so we're in a new family now. And we have now, let's take a look at James. James 5:14, and healing in the name of Jesus. In the King James, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. So all the power and all the authority that Jesus had while he was on this earth is invested in the name of Jesus. And that has been given to us. The church has been given, as we were sharing on Sunday, we've been given the power of attorney, meaning it's been conferred upon the church for the benefit of the church. It's Ephesians 1. And we've been given the right to act on the behalf of Jesus. So when we read in verse 18 and 19 of Matthew 28, 18 and 19 in the New Living Translation, this is just before Jesus was taken up into heaven. This was the last thing he was sharing with his disciples before he was translated into heaven. It said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he was at this point conferring upon the church the right to use the name of Jesus. In other words, he was giving them the power of attorney or to speak on his behalf, to convey the will of the Father here in the earth. So he was giving us that right to use that in these scriptures here. So the power of attorney, which we were sharing on Sunday, is the legal right to act or speak on the behalf of another person. So we have been given that right. We've been given the name that's above every name. So we have now, in Jesus' name, access to the resources of heaven. And then how do we draw upon those resources? In the name of Jesus. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:7? We walk by faith and not by sight. So we are to operate in faith. And when you look at all of the scriptures where the name of Jesus is used in reference to the church using the name of Jesus, nowhere does it talk about us having faith to use that name. And what do I mean by that? If you have something, I'll just use it in this terms, when it says, in whom we have, or in Acts chapter 3. Maybe we can go there and look at that account of Peter, Acts chapter 3 and verse 4, 5 and 6 and 7. This is Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, and the crippled man that was at the gate. And it says here, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, see, so he was there begging, looking for money. And so then verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." What did he have? Here's what he said, "Give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So he knew he had something. Nowhere in here does it talk about having faith to use the name of Jesus, because faith, the basis of faith, is that you believe to receive something that's not seen. Well, or you don't have, and you don't have a physically or a manifestation of something. But we have the name. It's been conferred. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all men." So we've been given that name. We have it. We've been baptized into the name. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. And so we have access to the resources of heaven. We are, and we're going to share in Romans 8:17. Maybe let's take a look at that in the Passion Translation. Maybe that'll help. Romans 8:17. We are children of God. We've been saved. We are fathered of God, or you could say we are children of God. But Romans 8:17, it says, "And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all of his treasures." Oh, I guess that would mean the name of Jesus. "For indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has." Glory to God. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. But I wanted to focus on that where it says, "And since we are joined to Christ," we are his children. And it says, "We also inherit," glory to God, "all that he is and all that he has." So when the scripture in Hebrews 13, I believe it's Hebrews 13 and 5, I think it is, or 6, Hebrews 13, 5, I'm sorry, I think it's Hebrews 13:6. It says, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever." So everything he was yesterday when he walked this earth, everything he is today, and everything he will be forever is ours right now. It says we become sharers. That's what Romans 8:17. "And because we are joined with him, we also inherit all that he is, all the power, all the glory, all the honor that was conferred upon him is ours." Let me read this excerpt from E.W. Kenyon's book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. I don't think it's said much better than this. You know, Brother Hagin has a book called The Name of Jesus, and he pretty much refers to E.W. Kenyon's book on the name of Jesus. But this is what E.W. Kenyon wrote in this book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. He said, "He has bestowed upon him honor and glory and power and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above every known authority. And now all this honor, this glory, this authority, this power is vested in the name of Jesus, and this name is given to us." So we should not in any way operate in any fear, operate in any apprehension, any condemnation. We have been given his name, and the devil knows it. And that's why we need to operate in a heavenly consciousness of who we are in Christ, who we have actually become. It says there is a Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit." So when we walk after a consciousness of who we've become in Christ, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ. I'm a brand new person in him. And so all the power, all of the authority, all of the miraculous is available in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's take a quick look at Mark 16. And you know, that authority that is in Christ has been given or delegated to the church and to use his name. So we are to carry out the will of the Father in this dispensation. How? By using his name. Because even Jesus said, "I do nothing except the Father show me, or I see my Father do it." So I think one of the things that, you know, I was listening to a minister the other day share something, and he was talking about the two accounts of the Syrophoenician woman who said to the Lord, and when the Lord said, you know, that the crumbs were, not the crumbs, but the food given to the dog, he said, you know, "I don't give the food from the table." He called her a dog. And she said, Truth, Lord, but even the crumbs, you know, are available. And he talked about her great faith. And the same with the centurion. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house, my home, but just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." And he talked about great faith such that he had not seen in all of Israel. And when you look at those two accounts where he talks about great faith, when you look at that, you look at two individuals that understood humility. They humbled themselves before him, and they submitted to him. So when you look at that, when we talk about using the name of Jesus, it's for us when we are to do what? Acknowledge, confess the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that mean? That means you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and acknowledge him as what? Lord. As master. And so we have to do what? Humble ourselves and submit ourselves to him and his ways and his desires. But Mark 16 in the King James, Mark 16, 15 through 18 in the King James, and it said, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This future tense. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now this, in the New Living Translation, I like the way this reads. It said, these miraculous signs, this is Mark 16, 17, it said, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. Or you could say, in his name, you will speak with new tongues. There's a footnote in the New Living Translation. It says that in the Greek, it literally said, these signs shall accompany the believing one. So when it says those who believe, it says the believing ones in my name. So if you believe, you are a believing one. You are someone that has taken hold of his ways, his will, and you believe and you act upon what you believe. So this is what Peter and John and Paul, they believed that they had been saved in the name. They believed that they had what? Been baptized into the name. And they believed that the name of Jesus had been conferred upon the church. And they took that name and they went out and did what? Cast out demons. They laid hands on the sick. And I just love what Romans 8:17 says in the Passion, it says, we also inherit all that he is and all that he was. Glory to God. So everything that he was, everything that he is, and everything he will ever be is invested in that name. All the power, all the authority that was given to Jesus is in the name of Jesus. And that revelation, I guess I will say, the more we feed upon this, the more we read the scriptures and meditate upon it, it will become clearer and stronger in our hearts, and we will then step out and use the name in a greater way, in a bolder way. You know, I think about, you know, an instance or thinking about a circumstance in my life where someone who was, you know, influenced by familiar spirits and just, you know, I was sharing the word of God and this person got up right close to my face and beat their chest and said, the devil lives in here. And it was just instant where up out of my heart, up out of my spirit, it happened so quick that up out of my spirit came, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I am protected by the blood of Jesus. You couldn't think that fast because it happened that fast. It came right up out of my spirit. And I believe that as we feed upon these verses of scripture, and we feed upon what we have and the rights that we have, that when we are confronted in life with circumstances, then we will begin to operate in the name of Jesus in a greater way. I think about, you know, when you have money in the bank, you have it. You know, this is another simple example. But if you have a bank account and you have money and you have resources available to you, you own that. That's your property. And the bank is doing what? Holding it or managing it for you. And when you go into that bank or you do whatever you need to do and you show the proper credentials and you prove who you say you are, then you can draw upon those resources. Didn't take any faith at all on your part. Why? Because you knew that it was yours. You owned it. You have it. You knew you had resources. I'm going to go draw upon them. And so it's no different. When we know that we have the resources at our disposal, and the resources, all of heaven's resources, are in that name, and that name gives us access to them, then we will use that name in a bold and greater way. And we will not be timid, because it's not me and my ability, it's His ability. And when I speak that name, it's as if He were there doing that and speaking. And I'm speaking on His behalf. So when we look at, I want to just take a look at John, the use of the name in prayer, John 14 and 13 and 14 and 15 in the King James Version. Says, and whosoever, this is Jesus speaking, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that what? The Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So he's saying that we are to come to the Father in the name of Jesus and ask. That word is actually not to beg, or it means to demand. We're not demanding of God, but we are making a demand, or we're drawing upon the resources that are available to us. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Now, what day is that? That's the day he was raised from the dead, and now we are to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I love the Passion Translation. John 16, again, verses 23 and 24 in the Passion. It says, for here is the eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. What have we been teaching or sharing this evening? Because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, we have a relationship and we have an inheritance, And all that he is and all that he was is ours. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. In verse 24 of and the Passion Translation of John 16, it says, "Until now, you have not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking him. And you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits." Praise God. So God is telling us to come. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. Says, "In whom we have." So this is again, we have something. Why? Because we are in him. We're in Christ. It's Galatians 2:20. "No longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So now, what this is saying is I have boldness. I have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And I like this. This is in the Good News Bible. In the same chapter and verse, it says, "In union with Christ and through our faith in him, we have the boldness to go into God's presence with all confidence." Wow. So how are we going in? We're going in because we've now been baptized into Christ, and I'm going in his name with all boldness and confidence in Jesus' name. That's what we just got done reading. Go to the Father in his name and ask what you desire, and Jesus said, "I will give it you." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's good to just, it's good to feed upon these scriptures, because there's so much, sometimes there's so much that goes on in our lives that we need to remind ourselves constantly. That we have what? We have access to some privileges because we've been born into the family of God. And because we have some rights and privileges and some responsibilities. That's for sure. But these rights and privileges give us access to the Father. And the Father desires to meet those needs that we have in his name. That's what it says in John. It says he gets the glory. It says in John 14:13 in the King James, it says, "Whatsoever you ask shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the what? The Father may be glorified in the Son." So he desires that we come to him in the name of Jesus, and he gets glorified. He gets the glory. So it's important for us to just keep that focus in our mind and our hearts, and meditate on what we have. We don't have to, sometimes people think they have to wait to heaven to get access to, or the resources of heaven, or, you know, when we all get to heaven, everything is going to be just wonderful, and some says peaches and cream. Yeah, and here's the thing, there's no devils and demons and opposition in heaven, so why would I need the resources of heaven at my disposal at that point? God is looking for his body to do what? Go into all the earth and make disciples of all men, those that he died for. And that is the mission or the mandate of the church is to reach people. That's our, you could say, our vision or our mandate at this church, to reach people, teach people, and then send people out into the highways and byways and share the good news of the gospel. Could be just, you know, you go to the grocery store, you go wherever you go. You're an ambassador for Christ. And so you have access to the resources of heaven. And what has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the love of God? And so it's good to remember. I mean, I'm thinking about a couple of scriptures here. Let's just turn over to, and they'll put it up, 1 John 4:4. And 1 John 4:4. What does it say? It talks about, we've been talking about being a little child or a child of God. And this says here, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, talking about the demons and devils, wicked spirits, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's greater in you? The name. Who's in you? Christ is in you. All that he is, all that he represents is in you now. And the devil knows it. And that's why a lot of times, sometimes people, when they get saved, they, you know, all these things start happening in their life and they're going, what the heck is going on? What's causing all of this? It's who you represent now. It's who you've been named after. And so you just remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then let's look at just one last scripture here, 1 John 5:4. These two scriptures just came to mind as I'm standing here. And 1 John 5:4 says, and whatsoever is what? Born of God. You're a child of God. You've been born of God. Does what? Overcometh the world. Boy, you are an overcomer. Maybe your life doesn't look like it. Maybe there's stuff going on, but you are a child of God. You've been baptized into him. In him, you have overcoming nature in you. You have the overcomer in you, living in you. And it says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And 5, who is he that overcometh? Who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you are a believing one, you are a believer, you are an overcomer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm just going to finish there and end with that thought, and we'll pick up again at another time and talk about the name of Jesus. And I'm using this in the context of in him we have. Glory to God. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much, and we are grateful, and we are humbled by all that you did in and through Christ. And we thank you for saving us by the name of Jesus. We thank you that we've been baptized into the name of Jesus. And we also thank you that our bodies have been healed by the name of Jesus. And we are quickened in that name and by his Spirit. And so, Father, we're thankful this evening, and we thank you for greater revelation into what we have in him. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we receive our evening offering, I just want to extend the opportunity of those that may be watching, or maybe you'll watch it another time, and extend that opportunity for you to receive Christ if you haven't. In other words, have you made a profession, or have you confessed Jesus as Lord, and have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? If you do that, then the scripture is very clear that you will be saved. You will become a brand new person in Christ. You will come into the family of God. And you know, it's so important also that sometimes, you know, you are part of a church already. Maybe you weren't saved. You know, you might have been part of a church denomination. And God is not asking us to leave churches. God directs, not us. We're not telling people to leave churches and to change anything in that way. God will direct you where you are to be fed. And if he keeps you in the church you're in, then so be it. But the main thing is that you make a profession with your mouth, that which you believe you speak and confess. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that he came and took my sins, and he took them to hell and was buried. And I thank you, Father, that when sin was paid for, he was released and raised from the dead, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And so I thank you, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, make something new of me, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and I confess with my mouth that I will serve you all the days of my life. And if you made that simple confession of faith, then as the scripture says, you have become saved. What does that mean? You have instantly received his nature, his love, his eternal life, in your spirit, and he will begin to direct you and lead you by his spirit. He'll begin to speak to you and direct you because you are his child. Hallelujah. Glory to God.